Floyd Patterson fought professionally from 1952 until 1972. Some considered him too small to be a heavyweight champion, and others thought he was too kind. His fear of humiliation led him to arrive at bouts with a disguise, so if he lost, he could leave the building incognito. He was a champion of civil rights, but he insisted on calling Muhammad Ali Cassius Clay. In a new biography titled Floyd Patterson, The Fighting Life of Boxing's Invisible Champion, W.K. Stratton explores the complications and contradictions in Patterson's life. The author joins me now from KUT in Austin. Welcome to Only a Game.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Boxing has long been presented as a way for an underprivileged young man to achieve wealth and fame, and I guess it's fair to say Floyd Patterson qualified as underprivileged.
It's a textbook case of that. Floyd Patterson was born to an African-American family in Waco, North Carolina, and they migrated from the rural South to the urban North and settled in Brooklyn, where his father took on a number of different kinds of manual labor jobs, and his mother also worked and did everything they could to bring food and clothing into an ever-expanding family that eventually included 11 children. The conditions in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood in which they lived were very harsh, very poor, and Floyd Patterson was like many young boxers. He saw boxing as a way to help himself out of the dire conditions into which he was born and also to help his family out.
You write that when Floyd Patterson became prominent, he came to, quote, represent a break from what preceded him in boxing. What did you have in mind there?
Well, before Floyd, there were a lot of boxers who were kind of lovable palookas. They were the kinds of guys sports writers like to hang around and pick up the wisecracks. And Patterson was much, much more introspective. He preferred to be reclusive most of the time. He was distrustful of many reporters. But when he found a reporter to whom he felt like he could open up to, he would search his inner motives and his inner thoughts more deeply than any boxer before him. And he had a way of, in spite of some of the educational developmental problems he had a way of speaking with an eloquence that was quite unlike what you would expect to find in a boxing gym.
What specifically led Floyd Patterson to become involved with the civil rights movement?
It really started for him after he won the heavyweight championship in 1956 and did a series of exhibition bouts through the country. He went to Kansas City, and here he was, the heavyweight champion of the world, which at that time was the most prominent athlete in the world by consensus. You know, he was the best known, most respected athlete in the world. He went through downtown Kansas City as this heavyweight champion of the world and was turned away from restaurant after restaurant because he was African American. And he actually ran into another former heavyweight champion of the world, Jersey Joe Walcott, who happened to be in Kansas City at the same time, who received the same treatment. And the two of them ended up retreating to a hotel room with bottles of milk and cookies, and that was their dinner because they could get they could not get seated in a restaurant. He had some firsthand experiences as he got out in America of just how ugly the segregation movement was at that time. And so he took it upon himself to get involved with the civil rights movement, which ultimately led to him doing things like traveling to Birmingham to show support for Martin Luther King Jr.
Floyd Patterson lost his heavyweight title to Ingemar Johansson in 1959, and in the rematch, he became the only heavyweight to have regained the title. Do you feel he got sufficient credit for that achievement, which was a singular achievement at that time?
You know, he had an odd set of circumstances that sort of worked against him. When Johansson defeated him and won the heavyweight title, Johansson had wonderful press in the sports pages. He was likened to the next Dempsey. He was celebrated throughout America as this great knockout artist. But when Floyd was able to knock him out in their rematch, suddenly Johansson's status was he was a bum all along. We should have known it. You know, it was really a marvelous fight from Patterson's standpoint. And the knockout punch makes those lists of the 10 greatest knockout punches of all time. And it actually speaks something about Floyd Patterson's character when you look at how Patterson reacted after he knocked out Johansson in that fight. There was a momentary bit of celebration on Patterson's part, but then he saw that Johansson was really out and not looking very good on the mat. And so what does Patterson do? He gets down on the mat next to Johansson and kind of cradles his head and shows his concern for this injured person, which is, you know, totally out of character for most boxers.
Very few boxers quit early enough to save themselves from the ravages of the sport, specifically the brain damage that comes so often to boxers. Should Patterson have retired after the second loss to Sonny Liston?
I think so. Patterson always suffered a lot of damage in fights. He would himself say that he was knocked down more than any other heavyweight champion. Then he would always add that he got up more than any other heavyweight champion. And that was a nice thing to say, but he did take some enormous blows over his career. And at the end of his life, he suffered from dementia. His family said it was Alzheimer's, and perhaps it was. But he did suffer heavy, heavy blows during his career. And he did then have an extended period of dementia toward the end of his life. So I do think he fought longer than he should have.
How do you think that Floyd Patterson should be remembered among the most accomplished prize fighters?
Well, he was a significant heavyweight champion. I would not call him a great one in the way that I would call Joe Louis or Muhammad Ali great. But I think the thing that's most important about Patterson is that while he was an active athlete at the peak of his career, he spoke out against injustices. He said he would not fight in segregated arenas. He took a stance on civil rights. And I think that set a pattern for athletes to come, that you could speak out about things that you were passionate about. And he was really one of the first to do that.
W.K. Stratton is the author of Floyd Patterson, The Fighting Life of Boxing's Invisible Champion. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and the author joined me from KUT in Austin. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you again so much for having me.
Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Philip Kisubika, and we had help this week from David Alvarez at KUT in Austin. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. To view Jeremy Bernfeld's Kansas City baseball pictures, please visit onlyagame.org. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. Our final word this week comes from Tour de France essayist Hampton Sides, whose conversation with me began with some technical difficulties.
Find somebody who knows nothing about cycling, who knows nothing about... I'm getting
hold
some
it,
kind
hold
of weird...
Hold a second. Yeah, we're hearing interruptions.
I thought it was going really well, though.
It always goes well, even when it doesn't go so well. Bill Littlefield, thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. And the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness on the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR.